That was a that was supposed to be for later.
Can I just tell you though, it was so like perfectly written on cue. I don't even know.
Okay, well then let's get started.
Hurry, hurry, step right up. The show's about to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your cups. Here's to this moment, it will never happen again.
This is Offstage and On the Air, performance number 599. I am your host with the most, Lisa Sheps, and I am joined by my co-host with the more most, Miss Nicole Shiro.
Hello.
You're listening to us on KOOP HD1 HD3 Hornsby, and we are pre-recorded during the pandemic. Stick with us.
The show's about to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your cup. Step right up, feast your eyes on the wonders of this world. Oh yeah.
I know better than you. I know this much is true.
It is Wednesday, January 13th, 2021. This is our second show of 21. Yay! On the show today, you just got Nicole and me playing some music. And we're going to talk about the news and views of the world of theater in New York. In New York and in New York, there's really not much happening elsewhere. Stick with us after this song completes.
With promises that thrill me.
Nicole Shiro. That was that was from a music the song is called Democracy, and it's from the musical Soft Power.
Yes, I had not until you played it, and I'm glad I got to hear it.
So do you remember Soft Power is off-Broadway? It's book and lyrics by David Henry Hwang, and music and additional lyrics by one Janine Tesori.
I knew that, but it's how long ago was this show?
This year, 2019 off-Broadway. This is one of the... seven shows up for Grammy, and it's a weird list this year.
It's a very weird little list. You want to tell us about that list?
Yeah, I do. And when I said seven, I meant six. So Amelie, which was in the 2017 Broadway season, but this
yes,
is the
listeners cannot see my face go okay and then crinkle up with confusion.
Well, this is the London version, which was last year.
Mm.
Okay. Soft okay. Power, Prince of Egypt.
Oh, that's the Hal Prince
mm-hmm.
thing. Okay.
Little Shop, the version with Jonathan Groff.
I saw it, but I saw it with the Gideon Glick.
Yes, you did. The Jagged, The Little, and The Pill.
Oh, yes.
And the David Burns American Utopia.
Oh, yes.
It's an odd list, actually.
Really, you know what? I mean, it really covers everybody's kind of cup of tea musically, I guess.
I guess. But, you know, it is also an odd year. So what the hell?
An odd year.
So the music we're going to be playing today, we're going to hear something from each one of those pieces of Grammy.
And here's what's odder. Do we have a new Grammy date since they announced the postponement the other day?
I don't think so. Not yet. But it is postponed. So let's just, Soft Power is intended as a reverse King and I.
A reverse King and I.
Right. Instead, and I'm reading this from Wikipedia, and instead of extolicizing an Asian country, Soft Power extolicizes, I'm going to have to look that up, America by looking at it from a hypothetical future Chinese musical. So this is actually a musical within a play.
Oh. I guess I never realized it was within the play.
It's within the play. So it should. Yes. And it was nominated for a whole bunch of awards. It was nominated for the Lucille Lortel Award, the Drama Desk, the Drama League. It was a finalist for the Pulitzer, and it was an honoree for the Outer Critics Circle Award. And now it is up for a Grammy. So it hasn't won anything, but maybe this time.
It's up.
Maybe this time. Da, so, da, da, da. Folks that listened to the very beginning of the show will have an idea of what we're talking about next. But I'm just going to play this for you, Nicole Shiro. This lasts 1 minute and 6 seconds. I'm guessing you know what show that's from.
Oh yeah, I knew way back when it was playing on its own from the skies and the heavens above.
But did you recognize the language with which folks were speaking?
I believe it was Asian. Was it Japanese or Chinese?
It was indeed Japanese.
It was Japanese. I thought I heard Ichi, but then I heard a few different sounds, and then I couldn't blast it too loud in my house right now, so I couldn't.
This is something you might be able to see when you go see the Olympics. It's going on tour in 2021 in Japan.
Interesting. Well, we'll see if I make it to the Olympics at the rate things are going, but true. I love that you think I'm going.
You're going to the Olympics. So it's odd. So I went to the website for this, and the website headings are in English, but nothing else is in English. And I couldn't figure out a way to change it to English because it's, you know, had a thing about dates and I wanted to find the date. So those of you that can read Japanese characters can hop on over to that website and get more information.
I can read a bit. I'll go over and see if I can help you out there at all.
Yeah, I think that'd be good. And that's, I just knew that when I saw that, you would just love it.
I got excited. Yes, the first song sounded very Japanese, and then it changed, and then I couldn't hear, and that is very exciting.
Yeah.
I just love that. How many languages has Les Mis been done in?
33.
Are you making that up, or?
I'm totally making that up. totally making that up.
Wonder,
so
I would think it'd be like Wicked and one of the.
Oh, it's a ones. Wicked cool show, so there. You might be wondering why we're doing a music show today and we have no guests.
Why, Lisa? Tell me.
Austin is not moving very quickly to ramp up. We got very little. It's sort of interesting here in town that, you know, right when the pandemic started, right when we were told we couldn't perform anymore, and when it was clear it was going to be a while, we had a proliferation of online offerings locally, and now it's just very few.
I think the anticipation of not knowing where we're going to open, is the vaccine coming? There's just been so much, and then the rolling in of the stage 5 and hitting where we are again in the last month and a half, 2 months. I think it kind of, you know, how do you plan for that?
You don't.
You know?
You don't. But I just thought that's interesting. Oddly enough, I tried to get the Hideout Theater on to come and talk to us this week, because they have been producing a lot. I mean, an awful lot. And they have been producing a lot from the beginning of this thing up until now. And so I thought that we would get them on the show. But clearly, they're far too busy producing to answer any emails from us.
Well, you know what? They might come out from the producing bubble and be like, hello, we'd love to talk and tell you stuff.
You never know. But I'll tell you what, just talking about the pandemic and what's going on, the New York Times today had an interview, or not an interview, well, yeah, it was an interview, with Anthony Fauci specifically about theater. And as I was reading the article, it popped up on the Broadway briefing as well. So I'm guessing you saw this as well.
It was in the Broadway briefing this morning too, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm. But he is suggesting that theaters could reopen sometime in the fall.
Fall. Mm-hmm.
But which is good. It's the first time that they've been saying something, that somebody of his level has been saying something
definitive. He's said fall now for like the last two or three times people have asked him. But
right,
he has to talk at an expanded rate about theater.
Right. And what's different now is that the vaccine is out. And even though we've had a really slow start, he's very, I think he's more confident than others in terms of that it's going to actually end up catching up, because I think we're 25% of where we thought we were going to be at this point. But he does think that we will be masked, but we may be at full capacity. So
yeah,
that's interesting. Mm-hmm. So he was speaking to Maureen Knighton, who's the director for arts for the Doris Duke Charitable Foundation, specifically about performing arts. So, God love Anthony Fauci.
There you go.
Hopefully. Let's take a break and hear another song.
Another little ditty.
From the canon that is the Grammy nominees for 2020. And let's listen, just because I like it a lot, Little Shop of Horrors. We're going to listen to Grow For Me. So I'm also trying, so most of these shows we have played in the past. So I'm really trying to choose songs that we did not play in the past. And oddly enough,
I don't think we played from this new Little Shop.
Yes, we have.
Oh, we have?
Yeah, when it came out, we did. I could tell you what we played, but I can't remember. But anyway, let's listen to
Grow For Me.
Grow For Me.
I've given you sunshine.
Please grow for me.
And we're back. You just heard Nicole singing Please Grow For Me.
As I was holding my Audrey too.
As you were holding your Audrey too. You I believe are the only one I know of that has an Audrey too.
They had them at the show that you could get. And
right.
I got one.
Yeah, the one that you saw what's his name in?
I saw Gideon Glick.
Gideon Glick. I just lost his name. I knew it was
the Gideon Glick, so I specifically went to see the Gideon Glick.
Good. Well, I knew it was
Christian Borle and the Tammies and everybody else wonderful in the show.
Okay. But you wanted to see Gideon Glick.
I wanted to see Gideon Glick do the Seymour.
All right. So here's an article that I did not read because I forgot to read it, but I skimmed it. I skimmed it when it first came out, and I thought it was important for us to discuss because it's just important. This is from the very qualified news journalistic magazine known as People. And it is Sarah. This is the headline: Sarah Bareilles, Andrew Rannells, and more to play Broadway-themed drinking game for a good cause.
Oh, how did I miss that one?
So this is a virtual drunken artist game, and it goes to the Actors Fund, Black Theater United, and Project ALS. I'm going to try to, since I haven't read it. Oh, darn it. It was 8 p.m. yesterday. Well, 8 p.m. yesterday for us, so it was 8 p.m. Sunday, so we kind of missed it, but I'm guessing you might be able to see it on the YouTube.
I was about to say, there's probably some fantastic little snippets and clippets and blurbs online.
Okay, so here's how it works. Each celebrity player draws a picture representing a Broadway musical title while participants try to guess it in the quickest possible time.
So it's kind of like a Pictionary, but where's the drinking come in?
It doesn't say that. I'm looking. As I did, I think I mentioned that I didn't read the article.
It's kind of got to be like a Pictionary.
I don't know. But here are other people that are a short list of other people involved. Now I have to go back and see. Annalee Ashford, Laura Benanti, Alex Brightman, Carrie Butler, Reeve Carney, Gavin Creel, Nikki M. James, which they just said Nikki James, Steve Kazee, Celia Keenan-Bolger, Telly Leung, Rob McClure. I mean, it keeps going on. Eva Noblezada.
That is a very eclectic it group of people from like all sorts of disciplines within theater.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
It's crazy.
Yeah, I don't know. We missed that one.
I'm just going to do a quick YouTube search on Broadway drinking game, and perhaps we can explore this together as a listening audience. Nope, did not come up easily. So that's it. So there will be a link at offstageonair.com to the article, and you can probably find it somewhere. So I think the final thing that we're going to do before we take a break, and timing for this show is going to be interesting. So did you read, and I don't even know why I'm asking, because I know you did, about the fate of the Broadway musical Dreamgirls? Not Dreamgirls, Mean Girls.
I was like, Dreamgirls? No, I saw Mean Girls, but I didn't see what happened to Dreamgirls. What's wrong with all the girls?
I mean, Mean Girls.
Yeah, it's sadly not. It's now the fourth show that's announced. It's not coming back.
It will not be coming back, but that is not going to stop its touring.
It is not stopping its touring. The touring is still on the agenda.
The touring is still on the agenda. Okay, so here's what's going to happen now. Since we don't really
on the horizon, because I don't think it's quite yet on everyone's agenda.
That's very good. It is on the horizon. We are going to take a break. We are going to listen to Amelie, starring one Philippa Sue, and she's going to sing Stay, and that's what we're going to go out on to the break. If I need to pat for more time, we're going to play another song before we go to break. So it'll either be one song or it'll be two, or maybe four. Let's listen to Amelie. Stay.
Stay away.
We are back. You're listening to Offstage and On the Air with Lisa Sheps. And who else?
Nicole
Shiro. You are listening to us at KOOP, streaming live at KOOP.org. During the pandemic, we are pre-recorded and homegrown. Nicole and I are recording this on Monday, which is 3 days ago for you.
It's so my uncle's birthday.
Bon anniversaire.
Yes. He's my Speaking uncle Bob. Of, he's like my dad. I adore him.
I've eaten at his burger place. and I hear he's a big boy.
He is very tall.
Okay. Let me just state real quick, like, that the opinions stated here on our show are not those of the staff board of KOOP, but just merely the opinions of us. And it's not an unpopular opinion, but I think we'd be remiss to not discuss what happened for our audience a week ago on Wednesday at the Capitol. Not really Broadway stuff, but I think it will be the makings of many a theatrical thing.
Yeah, and it's human stuff.
It's human stuff. So I just, you know, will probably add my voice to everybody else's and how shocked I was at the goings-on at the Capitol last Wednesday. I will, however, state I'm really happy that they finished the work that they needed to do at 4 o'clock in the morning on Thursday, as well they should have, to show that the wheels of the democracy go round and round, keep going. And I will state my personal happiness at the Senate race in Georgia, which was also publicized at the same time that this was all going on.
It
was
just a
crazy day. So it'll be an interesting, like, 7 days, I guess, now for our audience and 10 days for us till the inauguration and anything else.
I was looking at the calendar, but I forgot the Wednesday, Monday.
Yeah. But I really, truly hope that I am wrong in my feeling that more violence will come. I'm truly hoping that that what we had on Wednesday is it. And that's what I don't pray, but that's what I pray for.
I agree.
Okay. Well, good. You know what? With that, I think we just need to jump right to a palate cleanser.
Oh, yes.
Can don't you think?
Can I give you a jazz hand with it?
Yeah, there's a jazz can. Let's, from Prince of Egypt, let's do Make It Right. Make It Right. Here it is.
Okay.
You know I can't live without...
All right. Prince of Egypt. That was sung by Moses and Ramses, Pharaoh and slave, Luke Brady. Oh, Luke Brady is Moses, and Pharaoh is Liam Tam. And I should say this is the West End production. Music and lyrics by Stephen Schwartz. And this, of course, is a musical adaptation of the Moses story. When you, like, put a baby in a basket and put him in the river and you're not arrested for it.
Hey, my mom used to leave me in a stroller on the street corners in New York while she went in the stores to shop. And I was like, yeah, that wouldn't be happening.
That's what you do. You know, all you need to do is you tie the leash up to the street corner fire hydrant and go on in.
I was like, you used to do what? She's like, I'd leave you on the corner. It was normal. I'm like, OMG.
Yeah. So here's something I thought was interesting, which of course I didn't read either. I just did not do my homework. But there is an in-person performance in London's Southwick Playhouse and will be streamed of, drumroll please, The Sorcerer's Apprentice.
Oh, I saw this.
Yeah. And I don't know if... did you ever go watch...
Was it having some delays, though?
I'm sure it did. Yes, it had
lockdowns. No, I think I saw something about this today being pushed back again.
Oh, well, this article is in Playbill from January 11th. So that's today,
that's
isn't
today.
It?
That's today.
Oh, no, sorry. That's not when the article is. This is from January 6th. I didn't see anything today.
Maybe I'm wrong. I thought I did. I hope I'm wrong. We'll just go there.
But this is written and composed by Richard Ho and Ben Morales Frost. This new musical explores the world of a sorcerer and his rebellious daughter, etc. So now, were you, and you can choose to answer this or you could choose not to, were you one of those people that got stoned and went and watched Fantasia?
I don't...
You might be too young.
Remember that, but I probably did at some point, but like, I don't specifically ever remember getting stoned to go watch Fantasia.
Yeah. I did not. Well, I did later. And once it found its way onto the small screen, and I could do that.
I can tell you unequivocally when I first saw it, I was a young child at Disney in the theater. So no, I was not. But I don't remember as adult doing that, to be honest with you.
That's what we did in the 70s. So we said that not much is going on locally, which is true. But I picked up an article from the New York Times that came out today about one of my favorite shows to talk about that back in the day everybody was in, but evidently nowadays it's not. But it made the front page of the theater section of the New York Times, and that is Our Town. Which is having a bit of an anniversary, I think. That's Thornton Wilder's Our Town. It's a Pulitzer Prize winner. This is just little blurbits, little blibbits is the word I just made up, from 8 actors that played Emily over the years. And it's interesting to note that on Broadway, Emily was played by... Helen Hunt.
Really?
Yep. Oh, no, sorry, wrong, 1989. Well, that's not the 1989. It came out in 1934, so that would have been difficult for her to be in the original. but she did it in 1989. And this is a lot of the different Emilys. But I was very taken by one person that I think was the 4th Emily that they talked to, and I'm just going through here. And one of the things I should note, are you familiar with Our Town?
Yes.
So it is iconic Americana. It's about a small town in New Hampshire called Grover's Corners, and this couple that gets together, and it's talks about life and death, spoiler alert, they die at the end. In the third act. I think that's important. But these Emilys showed a lot of diversity. So there were at least 2 bilingual productions. There was a Southeast Asian actor playing it, a Indian actor playing it, and a deaf actor playing the role. And the deaf actor playing the role was one Sandra May Frank.
I just adore her.
I know. I love it. I'm going to read her whole art. It's only 2 paragraphs. So they asked each of these to just say something about the show. And Sandra said this, quote, "The first thing that comes to mind will always be this line. Do any human beings ever realize life while they live it? Every minute. One of my hobbies is creating art using one quote from each role that stays with me, and that line was one of them. As a deaf person, we value communication above all. In Act 3, when Emily speaks to the spirits, all of the spirits, hearing and deaf both, were looking straight into the audience. None of them made eye contact with me as Emily, and that added more layers because we deaf people require eye contact when talking to each other." And then there's a picture of her in the show.
Aww.
So here's to you, Sandra May Frank, who will hear this because I'm going to send it to her. But it's an interesting article. It's a quick read, so I would hope that folks would read it. Let's take a moment to listen to another song from the Grammy nominees. This one is from American Utopia. Oh, before we do that, I forgot to ask you a question at the top of the show.
Oh, what's your question?
And it's I went from David Byrne to David Bowie, and wondering if you saw Lazarus.
I did see the Lazarus.
And?
I enjoyed it. I'm not this big Michael C. Hall fan, but I enjoyed him. Did you watch it?
Did not.
Oh.
Did not.
I love Bowie. It made me sad.
Because he's no longer with us?
Yes, because I missed Bowie. But you know, it was like a happy sad.
So I only know Michael C. Hall from television and movies. So I do not know him as a stage actor. So I have no opinion one way or to other. Other than how can David from 6 Feet Under kill people the way he did? I'm just saying.
I'm on the same page with you. I never watched The Dexter.
So anyway, neither did I. Couldn't get into it. So let's go from David Bowie to David Byrne, and let's listen to Slippery People from American Utopia.
You're a slippery person.
You're a slippery person. And I love how you say America Utopia.
Because I'm trying to pronounce American precisely, because it's not America Utopian, it's American Utopia.
I know, but I just, when you went Utopia, I liked how you said it. It wasn't it was not a dig. It was a love.
All right. We're not going to talk about this long, but I think I meant to talk about this last week. This makes me happy, but I don't know how you'll feel about it. They're making a movie of Spamalot.
Oh, they've been trying to do this forever. I'm all for it.
Well, Paramount has acquired the rights, and they're going to mount a movie. And evidently, the director is Casey Nicholaw. I have been a big fan since the 70s. As my life as an adolescent young man, big fan of Monty Python and specifically the Holy Grail. And I have the soundtrack to the Holy Grail, which is an album that has three sides. It does. It absolutely has three sides. So one side, the grooves are all one thing, but on the other side, on the B side, depending on where you place your needle, there's a different track of grooves. So there are three sides. Yes. They were doing some very incredible things. So
they're some smart cookies, man. They've wanted to do this movie forever, and then it's kind of like isn't Gypsy the other one that's forever, like, we're never going to get it, we're going to get it, we're not going to get it. And
they want to do a Gypsy with, and I forgot the actress's name, the woman that did it in the West End, right?
I think so. Isn't that the one that Barbara's been trying to do forever and then not, and then Attached?
I don't know.
I feel like there's a few.
It's already been done. It's already been done twice.
Yes, I know. I'm well aware. Thank you.
I'm just saying, I don't think we need another one.
No, listen, I didn't think we need another Star Is Born, but yet again, they went ahead and did that one.
You and me both. But that's a whole nother show.
And that's the fourth one.
Third one, I thought. But I don't want to get in a fight with it. You probably know more than me. So let's switch gears. Let's go back to talking about the National Yiddish Theater Volksbühne.
Okay.
They are doing a concert that they're going to stream on Martin Luther King Jr. Day, which I think is very interesting. It's called Soul to Soul, and it explores the parallels between African-American and Jewish music.
Oh, that sounds interesting.
Yeah, so it's got a cast of a lot of people from theater and others. This was conceived in 2010 by Zalman Mlotek. It has involved to include a multimedia imagery and video, and it looks interesting, and you can register in advance, and this is curated by NYTF, so they never say what that stands for, but I'm going to say it's the New York Theater Festival.
Oh, yes, correct.
Oh, no. Oh, my God. It's not. It's the National Yiddish Theater Volksbühne.
Oh,
the very first thing I said when we started talking about this. Anyway, you can register at nytf.org/soul. And the final piece of information that I want to chat with, and this is something we already chatted with, but I want to do it again because it keeps coming up as our president-elect Biden is choosing his cabinet members. The advocates are still very hopeful for a secretary for the arts.
Yes.
And there is a NPR, I believe it's All Things Considered article about it, which I will link to folks in the show notes where you can listen to it. It's called A Biden Cabinet Secretary for Arts, Advocates Are Hopeful. I'm all for it.
Yeah, you're going to put the link up on the website?
Correct. And while we're talking about this, I need probably the last thing I'll talk about, and we're going to talk about this next week on the show in depth, and we're going to have some guests that are going to talk about it and give us more information, which is the new City of Austin Cultural Arts Division funding matrix for what we have all known as core funding, which is now a new proposal of how they want to fund it. And nobody's really happy about it currently that I know of.
I'm very confused by it all, so I'm interested to hear about this all more.
So there has been a pretty wide coalition of theater and cultural arts organizations that have gotten together to raise voices. And we are going to have two of the leaders of that group. One is John Reedy, CEO of Austin Creative Alliance. And the other is Ann Ciccolella, the artistic director of Austin Shakespeare. They're going to come on the show next week and talk about what the community is thinking, what they're saying, and whatnot. And if I will reach out to the city to see if they want to come on the show as well, although I'm going to guess, based on historical information, that they will say no. Because the information's not all out and codified, and so they're not going to. Yeah. They're not going to come out. But so that's going to be very interesting. I would encourage folks to show up on the show next week to listen to that.
Boom, boom, boom.
And with that, we have sloughed away another hour of Broadway music. So thanks, folks. We're going to go out with listening to Jagged Little Pill, our last nominee. And it is going to be the song No. We'll see you next week when we look at what's happening offstage and on the air. Bye, everybody.